This is CliffCentral.com.
Okay. Good morning. It is the 14th of March 2019. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com. As someone messaged in a couple of days ago, it's the Cliffless Week.
Cliffless Week.
The Cliffless Week. That is the term, that's the phrase we're using. I'm Siya Sangweni, and joined on this trusty Thursday. Yes, as with so much to say this morning. This is Bumi Mashiko. Good morning.
Good morning, Siya.
How are you?
I'm here for it, right? I'm here for it. And all I have to say today is thank Tiko. We are nearly in the holiday, public holiday season.
I was going to go TTNPS. Something along those lines. We gotta be.
Thank Tiko.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can we also get a public holiday just from news, from what is happening all across the world? Can we just get a public holiday from that?
This is what the public holiday season is about, yo.
What?
It's like you don't feel bad about not knowing what time of day it is, about not like tuning into the news. You don't feel bad about that.
Let's just take a moment wherever you are.
I'm happy. I'm here for it.
Just understand that next week this time, we'll all still be in bed, at home. We'll be grateful for our human rights, but I mean, we'll be grateful from our bed and the comfort of it all.
Yeah.
Right?
Thank Tiko.
How was your week?
Guess what?
Okay.
I have no bad news
for
you.
No trials and tribulations. This is the second week in a row.
I can say I told you guys.
We might be onto something. We might be onto something here.
But I told you guys I got rid of all that bad juju at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And now here we are,
yeah.
Right? Rolling right along.
It's the year of the big 4-0. So let's make it a big year.
We're almost done with the first quarter. We're in it.
Can you believe that?
So I'm done with all the bad juju.
Right.
None of it is happening. I'm not bringing that into the holiday season. I'm not bringing that into the... And you know how after March, the year just like goes...
I think I mentioned this on the show a couple of days ago. No. It was a conversation I was having with someone else elsewhere. I am still in the mindset of the year's just beginning, and I'm still hopeful with my New Year's resolutions. It's so naive and sad, but I have... I'm big on New Year's resolutions, and I'm very corny in that way. I'm like, yeah, I got my list done. I'm going to get all of this started. I'm going to check things off.
So how many New Year's resolutions do you have? How many did you have, like, when you started?
Roughly? roughly about 10.
Most I'd say roughly. It means you have no intention of finishing all of them.
Roughly, I mean, I haven't even really looked down and applied some of them properly.
So of the 10?
Yes.
How many have you gotten started?
I'll actually say like a good four or five out of that 10. But there are some key ones. For example, I've been watching less television.
Why would you do that?
Because I want to be intentional with what I watch. So I don't do anything mindlessly. I don't want to do a lot of things mindlessly. So just to sit and just channel surf or just to scroll on Twitter.
Are you watching less because there's no Wendy Williams?
Oh, now she's back, so I'm fine. Oh, like it was a tough couple of weeks. She's back safely on the show as of last week. But, you know, I don't want to be mindless with my time. So I wanted to rather be on the other side of the scale and, you know, be intentional with reading more, or even if I'm watching TV, it's watching something because it's a documentary I really wanted to watch, or even I don't want to act all smart and highfalutin, but even if it's just a series that I'm really, really enjoying, but not to just have 90 minutes go by and I'm like, actually, what happened there? So I say all of this to say I bought a Robin Sharma book. Because what is more New Year's resolution-y than a Robin Sharma book? I think I've made it through like 8 pages of it.
Oh, for shame.
And it's still just staring at me in the face every single morning I wake up and I feel bad.
But you can do it. What do you mean? It hasn't motivated you into like reading it
the
more?
The irony is the book is called The 5 a.m. Club, and it's about, you know, restructuring your day and being intentional with your day at 5 a.m. as you wake up to sit and get and accomplish and be productive in your day. But the irony, because that doesn't happen.
5 a.m.
How are you finding getting rid of the juju and being more productive in the day?
5 a.m. club. The only thing I do that's the bad juju that's come along is that as you talk about 5 a.m. club, oh, please, can I get my sleep back? I cannot sleep. It's the worst thing in the history of bad things.
So now we know you are a natural early riser.
I am not a natural early riser.
Well, you just wake up early, though.
Yeah, because I'm not sleeping. Because my sleep is gone.
Okay, so naturally you aren't an early riser. You just
naturally
don't have...
I would like to be sleeping in. Naturally, I just... Which is why I stay in bed. Like, I intentionally stay in bed. But I think I'm getting to that place where I'm going. Oh, no. So I'm asking myself if all those times when my mom was hyper irritating when I was a teenager, where it would be like the crack of dawn in my life. And she'd be like, waking up everybody, opening curtains, all chirpy and cheery. So I'm wondering if it's like that's what happens to black girls when you get older.
I just think
the sleep just like...
It's an old thing in general.
Is that how old people are?
Yeah.
That I'm not there for that kind of growing up.
What time do you sleep on average?
It depends. So I set my alarm intentions to go to bed by 10. But normally it's like 11:30 midnight.
So, and you wake up at?
4.
Goodbye.
So on average I'm having... It's the worst thing ever.
Please,
I just
want to
like sleep.
Yes. And it's not asking for a lot. Really, it isn't.
And the worst thing is, because of like social media, right? When I'm not sleeping, then I just want to go into social media and see what the like 5 a.m. club is up to.
Yeah.
What the hashtag insomniacs are doing. And that feeds itself, right? So what I did was I got a book. I got a new book.
Okay.
Because like... And
is it helping?
No, because it's amazing. It's an amazing book which keeps me up. So,
what are you reading?
I want to go to sleep.
What is it?
It makes me want to go. I'm just like.
But on that note, as you, firstly, what are you reading? And then secondly, are you reading on your tablet?
Believe I'm reading on my tablet.
Oh, yeah. So, I thought that was the title of the book. So if you're reading on your tablet, isn't that, what do the scientists say, the ultralight violet back screen of this tablet? Yeah.
Ay, man. Google. You can, like, make it a sepia page. You can, like, make it darker. It doesn't have to be that bright. There's
a something.
Without having to, like, advertise some people's products, this particular one also has, like, a light fixture that goes, like, depending on how bright the room is, adjusts the brightness of the screen.
So what are you reading?
It's called Black Leopard, Red Wolf, and it's a trilogy. It's kind of like, it's like the African version of Game of Thrones.
If you could see her face right now, she's lighting up so much. It's interesting though, Michelle has messaged us saying that some of us have to work next Thursday.
Michelle!
And the weekend that follows.
Oh, Michelle, you are keeping the wheels of our economy grinding. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for that inspiring message, because I wasn't going to say nothing like that.
Thank you, Michelle. We love people like Michelle.
Absolutely.
You know? They're keeping the wheels of this economy turning.
This is the second reference to a Tina Turner song you've sort of made. You're like, keep on rolling, and now... The big wheels keep on turning, but it's fine. I'll just skim over that because subliminally you're very Tina Turner this morning. If you do want to be like Michelle, you can message us 0797482090. That's 0797482090. Pop us a message and your message will pop up on the screen right in front of us here. So you're talking about social media and how you've been scrolling a lot and when you can't sleep. I'm just glad social media is back up and running after last night. Did you you didn't experience that?
The Instagram was down. I did, and you know, sometimes I then have to think, oh, it must be my life. It's just telling me.
And it's Facebook.
What's that? So I don't go on Facebook as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But the Instagram, the gram was down.
Oh, no. I don't know what was happening, but this is what they officially say. So Facebook and Instagram users, of course, you noticed this, lost access to some of the social network applications in part of the world yesterday as a result, they say, of an outage of undetermined origin. I'm not satisfied by that answer. Tell me.
This is going to be like an Ashley Madison-sized kind of leak coming out.
There must be no hacks. There must be no leaks. I don't want to, like, nothing must be revealed from this. So the California Giants, which has more than 2 billion users, acknowledged the outage after users started noting on the only social media platform that was working, Twitter, that they could not access Facebook or had limited functionality. So this is Facebook's official statement that they posted on Twitter, funnily enough. We're aware that some people are currently having trouble accessing the Facebook family of apps. We're working to resolve the issue as soon as possible. And then a short time later, Facebook indicated the outage was not related to an attack. You can breathe.
I don't believe it.
And they just said rather the network was overwhelmed. They say that after how many years of them being around, this is when they feel overwhelmed. But they say that we're focused on working to resolve the issue as soon as possible, but can confirm that the issue is not related to any sort of attack, referring to what is known as a distributed denial of service cyber strike. Anyway, I was just that person last night. I was like trying to reload.
Refresh.
And I thought it was my Wi-Fi and I had to go off the Wi-Fi.
Did you turn it off and turn it on? Wait for 30 seconds, turn it on again.
Can I tell you how pathetic I was even? And I'm going to name and shame myself because I know I'm not alone in this. I tried to figure out my neighbor's Wi-Fi password. And I actually cracked it. Whether we like it or not, we are all so simple. We all have a core name or phrase that we use for all of our passwords. And it's just like a reconfiguration. It might be Pimashiko. That's the root. And then your Facebook password will be Pimashiko123. And then your Gmail will be Pimashiko456, whatever. So I know... I sound like a hacker, but I know my neighbor's root password. So I was just playing around with it. I cracked the password.
How do you know your neighbor's root password?
Girl, call me 008 right about now. I was on my James Bond steez, but actually went into their garden. And I was standing there and I was connected to their Wi-Fi. I was trying to reload Instagram and it still wasn't reloading. I didn't know what to do with myself.
I hope your neighbor's listening right now and changes their password. Damn it.
I didn't think that far. But I wasn't, you know, I wasn't doing ill with it. I'm not about to, like, try to now get into
just depleting
his...
their data.
It's fiber, unlimited fiber. He should have given it to us ages ago, actually, because sharing is caring. We live in the same complex, goddammit. But I love the fact that even in the midst of not knowing what to do with myself, I still didn't get to the resolution of reading a book.
I can't believe you didn't read Robin Sharma.
Soon I'll get into that. Don't you worry. Get into that. But the one thing, just before we get into the five things that you need to know, because I think this is not just a story, it deserves a whole conversation. One of the things that I spotted as well last night, while the only social network that was working was Twitter, was getting into the Gugunube saga. So let's just fill people in on the Gugunube saga and what we know thus far. What do you know about it so far?
So I know that I was extremely disappointed when I watched the video because it said naked protest and then it turned out she wasn't naked. It was hell of a traumatizing to watch the cops drag her into that car.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, like every sane person, I then didn't carry on working. I spent the next 30 minutes Googling what the hell went down there.
Right.
And then it was like tumbling down the rabbit hole.
Mm.
Because first she it's a naked protest against sexual harassment that she suffered at UNISA. And nobody would hear her out. And then it all starts unraveling.
Mm.
Then people are posting, ooh, do you know that girl? What has she been up to? And first I'm outraged at that. I'm like, it's always, do you know what she's been up to?
Right.
And then the tweets and the screen munchers of the conversations between her and the accused, and then the people who've been through all the saga with her in various other institutions and various other people she's accused and tried to extort. And I was just like, how crazy can crazy get?
Well, as crazy as this, if you haven't seen the videos, if you haven't seen the footage, here's just a bit of Gugu Ncube explaining herself as she was protesting yesterday at the union buildings.
Say something to the world.
To the United Nations, I'm a victim of sexual harassment by Mhlaba Edward Shivambwe at UNISA. I tried engaging the UNISA Vice Chancellor, Professor Amakanya. He threw me out like a rotten pig. I have tried sending the president emails. Everybody around the president, they keep on not taking my message to the president. Dear United Nations, please intervene. I'm a victim of sexual harassment at UNISA. They claim I have resigned. I never resigned. They chased me away from work because I refused to sleep with my manager, Mhlaba Edward Shivambo. United Nations, come.
Yeah.
Dude, and it was proper hectic. When I watched that, I was just like, what? So you, what did you find out?
Firstly, let me set the tone like this. In 2019, given the climate of any and everything we deal with that is so highly publicized, you have to really look at everything objectively in order not to feed into the hysteria that we have in a lot of situations. So I... Instantly, this is very emotive. It is a woman who looks vulnerable, who is emotional herself, and she has these large claims that are very, for lack of a better term, topical. And I understand my emotions in that front, but then that's why I also got stuck into the rabbit hole, because I'm like, well, okay, let's see.
Who is this Shivambo?
Who is she?
And is he related to Floyd?
And then where was she employed and who said what and what's the statement? And it is so, I don't know whether it is sad or not that we've reached this point, but I now need facts in everything. I now need to see employment records. I now need to see where she was working. I now need a character reference. What do the police call it? Or in court, so that they can substantiate who you are. A character, something. They get your friends or your neighbors to talk about. That's the extent to which I now need to get, so that I can get a full picture of the story. I'm by no means saying I do not believe her. But
that's a good thing. I don't think it's a sad thing. I think it's a good thing. I think for a very long time, stories have always been so warped.
Right. Around.
But what we are learning is we are learning to calm down.
Mm-hmm.
We're learning to look at everything clinically if we can. Bearing in mind that there is no such thing as objectivity, right? Everything that you engage with, every kind of information that you come into contact with, goes through a filter of your own personal experiences and feelings, always. Mm-hmm. So all you can do is kind of arm yourself with all of the information and then decide how you want to, like, throw your outrage around.
Yeah, but before my own filter, there's still what is. Yeah.
It all goes through your own filter, though. It all goes through. So when you read stuff, when you hear people say stuff, it all goes through a filter. So the way your mind organizes all of those things is based on the experiences you've had, the conversations, the impact other people have had and what they believe and think around all of those things, no matter how factual a fact is.
Right.
It goes through a filter in your mind that is based on your personal...
See, that's the root as well of why everyone is just so riled up. And I do get it. And so without getting into too much of the nitty-gritty
I think at the end of it, though, I think at the end of my kind of And this is the worst thing about it. You know, you kind of go into social media because you are procrastinating from something you should be doing at your desk at work.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get sucked into this whole other thing. And then it's like 2 hours later, you haven't finished your work.
Mm-hmm.
And you are no better off with the information at hand. But I think the one thing I came out of it with is I hope this girl gets the help she needs. She obviously needs help.
Whatever type of help it is.
She obviously needs help, and I hope she gets it. Because it's so hectic. All of the stuff that has come out is so hectic.
Mm.
And differently to maybe what a lot of people feel, oh, you know, it discredits her entire claim that she's making, all the claims that she's making. I don't think it discredits them as much as it says there's a need to dig deeper mm-hmm. with this girl and help her. Help her.
There's definitely smoke. What the fire is, we don't know, but there's definitely smoke. I think that's safe to say. And without getting into the nitty-gritty, you need to put out a statement because she is, to my understanding, she's not a direct employee of UNISA. She worked for a company that I think in the greater scheme of things was either some sort of service provider for UNISA and so that's how they distanced themselves in the situation. And they did allude to some level of the fact that, you know, yes, she was officially pushed out of the company, but
pushed out. I didn't see the UNISA statement.
And then the second thing that I saw were screenshots of what, according to Gugu Ncube, it was on a blog of hers, were conversations between this Shivambu person and her. And this Shivambu person allegedly was, if it is him, was saying things like, you know, I've warned you not to speak out, try to talk out against me, and you'll then see how powerful I am, and no one will ever believe you. Don't you see what happened to so-and-so? And the so-and-so is another person who he allegedly abused and tried to speak out, but it all fell on deaf ears. But I think as well, my bottom line in this all is the fact that this isn't someone who's just tweeting. This isn't someone who's just sending an email. This isn't someone who is causing havoc at the head office at UNISA. This is someone who went to the extent of stripping down, being in a public place, screaming and shouting as swarms of people were gathering around her. That still didn't slow her down. And to the point where the last footage that I saw was her getting dragged, well, not even dragged, getting lifted and hoisted into the back of a police van. And she still didn't go down or keep quiet. And regardless, that is why I say that is enough for me to say there's smoke. What the fire is, I don't know.
But my biggest take as well mm-hmm. is, guys, I like tweeting this. Be kind. You know, we come across so many people all day, every day.
Right.
And people are going through stuff.
It's
people
tough
are
out
going
here.
Through stuff.
It's tough out here. Yeah, right.
And I think we need to be a little bit more sensitive and a little bit more kind. Be kind to each other, you know? And Twitter's not exactly the place where people are kind to each other. People are vicious on Twitter.
Yeah.
But can we, in real life, if anything else, my biggest takeout from this thing is, geez, you know, be kind. So when you encounter all of these things, all of these stories, if we start from a place of kindness.
Yo, it's a tall ask for a lot of people who are driven by emotion. I saw people who knew that sweet act of the president responding to that 8-year-old girl and writing a letter would come back and bite him in the you-know-where, because someone else was saying, at Cyril Ramaphosa, if you were able to take the time out to respond to an 8-year-old girl, then you can take time out to respond to Gugu Ncube. This is when we really need to see your leadership. I'm like, whoa. But rightfully so. Rightfully so. Yeah. All right, well, from that sort of news to five other news stories for this morning, let's get into the five things that you need to know this morning. First story, the fact that this has been a thing over the past couple of hours and days is quite interesting, but that escaped lion in the Northern Cape.
Again.
I think animals hate us, guys, and the animals are going to prove that they really do rule the roost here, and we are just nothing in the greater scheme of things. But if you don't know, a lion that escaped from the Karoo National Park just outside Beaufort West has been found in the Northern Cape. A guest house owner minding her own business in Sutherland, Yanita Hutchings, said the lion was caught on Wednesday afternoon. So Yanita says that he was sedated and transported to the local police station where he will be spending the night. What do you say as inmate number 17 in one cell, just look across you? You're like, wow, that's a lion.
Raw.
That's what I was thinking about. I think it just is actually quite crazy. So yeah, the lion spent a night at the local police station, and a vet, Yanita continues to say, is on its way to ensure the lion's safety and also to sedate him again. So the backstory is, the lion actually escaped from the park near Beaufort West on the 15th of Feb. Soon after his disappearing act, rangers were alerted to possible lion spore. That's lion doo-doo. Okay. Lion number two, on a farm north of the park. But earlier this month, they visited the farm and was confirmed that the doo-doo belonged to the missing lion. What an exciting job to have. And authorities actually joined the search. Even the like of private security companies joined the search with its specialized helicopters. And some of these private security companies even went as far as sending out choppers in the country fitted with forward-looking infrared or thermal imaging infrared cameras to look for this lion. And finally, the lion was found roaming 50 kilometers from Sutherland towards Calvania. Imagine if you were just minding your own business and you spotted the lion. even on the rare instance that I am out jogging in my neighborhood and I spot someone's dog,
or Felice.
You don't want to mess with me around that. So that is enough to freak me out. Now imagine just spotting a lion. Second story that you need to know this morning. It was all over the news yesterday, but this saga that happened at Mondio High School yesterday, it's quite scary and it's quite chilling. But police have arrested a 13-year-old suspect in connection with the murder of a Mondio High School pupil. Kulani Matebula, who's 19 years old, was stabbed to death while walking to school yesterday morning. Police were searching for two other schoolboys from a nearby school who are believed to have been involved. Meanwhile, Matebula's uncle confirmed his nephew called him during his final moments to inform him that he had been stabbed. Temba Chawuke said he received a call on Wednesday morning from his nephew, not knowing it would be the last time they spoke. Temba says, I received the call this morning from my younger brother crying uncontrollably, saying that there's someone who has stabbed him. He said he tried to find out from his nephew who had attacked him. He said that I asked him who did it, and he said to me he didn't know who stabbed him and asked me to come to the scene. He tried to explain where the scene is, but I couldn't understand him. Temba Chawuke later found his nephew's lifeless body lying in a park near his school, covered with a foil blanket. This is chilling.
And barely, what, 2 weeks after the Limpopo incident with Toriso? Mm. So kids killing kids is becoming a thing in this country. And there was a story a couple of days ago as well with some...
Is it the Kimberly story?
No.
Something, oh.
So there was this is a toddler that was killed by, I think, an 11-year-old and a 13-year-old or something like that, who... They came forward when the toddler was found that they were throwing stones at the child. And that's what happened. Like, what?
I don't want to overly analyze all of this, but what do you think is going on? Do you think it's the fact that we just are more informed? Could these really just be coincidental occurrences?
So years ago, as I say that, checking my age,
once upon a time
in the 90s, mm-hmm. there was a mega story, and it came back into the news about 3 years ago, because the boys, again, in Britain, in England, I almost think like it was in London,
right,
two two young kids, like also just barely teenagers, had killed a toddler. And what they'd done is they'd coaxed this baby away from its parents. And they, you could see them on, when the story broke, mm-hmm. you could see them on the cameras, on the CCTV, walking away with the child. Mm-hmm. And they intentionally took this child away and they killed it, essentially, right? And a couple of years ago, why it came back into the news is because those two boys had served their time mm-hmm. and they were being released from prison and they were given new identities. And I think they were like taken to America, you know, like relocated, new identities, because mm-hmm. it was such a crazy big story back then. So I don't know if this is a completely new thing. Maybe we just hear more of it, but it is still a fucked up situation.
Absolutely.
To see, so what is it that makes, so this 13-year-old and his friends, assumedly, who killed this boy, what is it that makes you go, yeah, we're gonna like lie in wait for this one and then we're gonna stab him?
Yeah, the operative term being intention. What are you planning on doing, and how does that seem normal to you? I'm not condoning the case that of the little boy who was throwing stones at the toddler, but to me that seems slightly lesser than
kill him.
Then yeah, I'm not condoning, I'm not making excuses, but I think I could get to more reason in such a case. But if you leave the house, you're meant to go to school, and you grab a knife from the kitchen counter, already that says, you, what are you planning? Or were they just trying to, or thinking that they were just going to intimidate him? But when you lift your hand up with a knife and charge towards someone, come on, what do you think is going to happen? So it's the fact that I think we've reached a point where people don't even bat an eyelid to the thought of doing that. That's worrying.
Violence in our society.
Yikes. Yeah. Let's move on. Third story that you need to know this morning. We're definitely going to get more into politics in the Burning Platform this morning. Canthan will be joining us in just a little bit. But third story that you need to know this morning, Energy Minister Jeff Radebe and his ill health. That, this little spat. It's not the time to laugh. Shame. Oh, banza.
Guys, old people get sick. I'm not sure.
Why are we surprised? What the fuss?
I'm not sure.
I feel like that's what you're about to say.
I really am not sure about this. Like, why are we... Old people get sick.
The official statement that was released yesterday evening said that he has recovered and is ready to resume his duties. Now, this all comes after a couple of hours after the minister was a no-show in parliament after he was rushed to hospital due to ill health. Radebe was to answer questions on the independent power producers when National Assembly Speaker Baleka Mbete announced he was not able to be in the house because he has been rushed to hospital due to ill health. Now, part of my ignorance, I don't know much about the independent power producers, but the sort of skeptic in me says, you have to answer a few questions.
Bon.
And now you're sick.
Old people get sick, ne? And I know people are like looking at the EFF always going, what is with the grannies and grandpas in the ANC? Everybody's looking at them with the side eye, but it's a reality. Old people get sick. And, you know, do we really need this many old people running this country? Do they have, you know, do they have the stamina to run this country? You can see things are like running amok, the lawlessness. And we've just got old people everywhere. So mm-hmm. like... Did he get sick? Did he play truant because he got sick because he doesn't want to answer these questions?
Yeah, and he gets sick for one day. So like in the let's give him the benefit of the doubt and even say in the morning.
Did we not have
it? It was probably
incident.
When he was sick. And then in the evening, he's better.
Did we not have an incident of a man collapsing in front of cameras?
Yeah, he was having a challenge.
Did we want to see a repeat of that?
But what if, you know, the premier,
maybe this guy was just like, I ain't going down like that.
What if the premier is also a fan of Wendy Williams and said, stumbling and falling and fainting.
Literally, 3 hours later, the premier was walking around like, eh.
So is it old people or just shady people slightly?
Maybe it's shady old people. Why must be one or the other?
We can't separate the two. Because this is also part of the statement. The energy department also explained that Radebe's health scare came after the reburial of his friend Ben Langa. So Ben Langa was exhumed and then reburied. I don't know.
Ben Langa is the guy I was telling you people about last week. He is the brother to Pius and Mandla Langa.
There we go. This all happened. He was exhumed from KwaMashu.
He was killed because, remember last week we had a whole thing about this guy.
Okay, so because he was so emotionally overwhelmed by that story, he was feeling slightly under it and had to go to a hospital and not answer questions. Okay. Let's just go with that statement. Fourth story that you need to know this morning. It is clearly a week of planes and sagas and stories, and they're just all unsettling to me, as if we haven't had enough plane stories. But this is what was revealed yesterday as well. A medical emergency was the reason behind the return of an Air France plane, which was bound for Paris to Johannesburg. This is what the airline said yesterday. So flight AF-995, which took off from OR Tambo yesterday at about 10 to 8 in the evening on Sunday, crossed into Zambia at an altitude of about 34,000 feet when it had to make a U-turn. Oh, this is when you freak out. So this is what Air France says. They have told media that it had been in the air for about 4 hours, and they said that the health of the particular customer who was on board was of prime concern, as well as the safety of the other customers on board. So the plane was scheduled to land in Paris at 5:45 the following morning, but the aircraft landed in Johannesburg and took off again normally. The only impact was for our customers that had missed their onward connection in Paris. They were rebooked and on the next connecting flight to their final destination. Again, we iterate that safety and the well-being of our customers is our first and foremost concern. This is, by the way, the same day another Air France flight to Paris had to return passengers to the Ivory Coast capital, Abidjan. Reports indicated that one of their planes' engines failed as it entered the crew stage. Once again, Air France said that there were no similarities between the two flights because the one plane returned for medical reasons and the other for technical reasons. Have you ever been on a flight where there had to be some sort of emergency that took place? An emergency landing, some sort of U-turn, a stalling from takeoff?
Thankfully, no. And because it is after having seen Rain Man enough times to know all about the kind of statistics of planes going down. I still go on flights. Although, you know, in the next couple of weeks, months maybe just, you know, drive.
I have a flight today. I have a flight today.
Is it Air France?
No.
Is it a Boeing 737M8?
I'm not sure. So actually, someone messaged yesterday. Messaged us on Tuesday to tell us I think they called themselves B from Cape Town, to tell us the difference between, you know, a 737 and what that was the Ethiopian airline plane that actually fell. And they told us that one has 6 seats in a row and the other has 9 seats in a row. I forgot that. But before my flight today, I need to research it again, because best believe.
What will you do? What will you do?
I will ask the cabin crew for extra wine, because that's the only way to cope. Now I need to see what is most likely to fall out of the sky.
So, and I'm sure one of these days, like Gordo or one of those pop culture guys, are going to talk about the new film, you know, with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson.
What is it?
The first
about?
One was called Shattered. Okay. It was called Shattered, and it was about this guy who survived a plane crash when he was a baby and has never been hurt. Da, 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 da. Oh, you might.
No, I haven't heard of
it. It's going to be great.
Okay.
This is the second one. It's been like 15 years since the first. And it's like a superhero origin story. But I know a guy who's in advertising, who's been in 2 plane crashes. Not one, but two plane crashes.
How's that possible?
That's what I said.
What khotoba is this?
I was just like, and he's one of those guys. He's a battle axe. He's like old school advertising rock legend type guy. He's those big eaters, big drinkers, loud, all sorts of. Two plane crashes, and the man survived both.
How bad were both
How bad
those
do they not want
crashes?
You in heaven or hell?
No. How bad were the crashes?
Dude, does it matter?
But like, were there
it was not
involved?
A light crash, but he was in two plane crashes.
It wasn't like that Hudson River soft landing. It was a crash.
It was a crash.
Yeah, he needs to talk to Jesus or something. Or like, he needs to understand why it hasn't happened. Oh, are you talking about this new one called Glass?
Yes.
Ah, okay.
The first one was called Shattered.
Yes.
This new one is Glass. But that's the origin story. So the Bruce Willis character was in a plane crash when he was a baby. Everybody died except him.
That will mess you up.
Yeah, he just lives his life, grows up, lives his life. But then on the other side, because you know how all superheroes have an anti-hero?
Okay.
And the anti-hero is the Samuel L. Jackson character. And the Samuel L. Jackson character has broken every bone in his body. He's like...
Oh, jeez. Goodness. Good. Well, it is though, by M. Night Shyamalan. So I think it's going to be good. Who is it? I feel like you want to correct me. M. Night who?
I'm not going to do it.
M. Night Shyamalan. That's one. And then the fifth story that you need to know this morning, given what has been happening over the past couple of days as well, there's finally been a tally, and now we know at least 115 people were killed in Mozambique, Malawi, and South Africa after heavy rains affected a lot of people in the southeast of Africa. This is what officials and the United Nations have said, prompting calls for emergency aid. Now, at least 66 people have been killed in Mozambique, 45 in Malawi, and 4 in South Africa following these torrential rains that have triggered flash floods. There we go. Mozambique cabinet spokesperson Anna Komania said the government has decreed a red alert due to the continuing rains and the approach of the tropical cyclone Ida, expected to reach the country between Thursday to Friday. She also spoke to reporters late on Tuesday after a cabinet meeting in Maputo to discuss the emergency. Yikes. The floods in Mozambique alone, one of Africa's poorest countries, have already destroyed 5,756 homes, affecting 15,467 households and 141,325 people.
So linked to that story is the video that went viral of the guy on the pipe.
Yes,
saving the little
Vincent
kid.
Vincent Corza. Oh, yes, please. We love people like that.
Absolutely love people like that. But a couple of days later, because that's how it is, right, on social media. Mm-hmm. Like, the news cycle goes by so quickly.
Right.
As you're refreshing, you know, your mind also just forgets these things. So a couple of days later, there's a whole story. Like, people are going, find this guy. Mm-hmm. So a couple of days later, there's a picture of him. He's got a certificate from the ANC and a T-shirt with Cyril Ramaphosa on it. And it's all great. And I'm thinking, oh, wow, the ANC, you know, found the guy before the EFF. Just, you know, valor and bravery.
Okay.
Like, well done from the president, right? And I'm like, the ANC found it before the EFF. Wow, this guy, amazing.
I feel like there's going to be an anticlimax here. What?
Literally yesterday,
uh-huh.
I see a story like on SABC News or whatever, interviewing the guy. And all the guy wants is a job and permanent citizenship. I'm like, what? When the presidency sent the man the certificate, they weren't like, yo, dude, you know?
Do you remember that?
Like, he can't even vote.
Yeah, do you remember? Well, it doesn't discredit his backstory. You know, his one act, amazing as well. And you know I love me a good feel-good story. Oh, don't get me started. But it doesn't discredit if there is a backstory of how he got into the country and whatever the case is. But do you remember back in France
that Macron gave the man citizenship
the Spider-Man
and a job?
Guy, the Spider-Man guy who, like, yeah, walked up and then he got citizenship from
He's now
from
training
them.
To be, like, you know, a fireman.
So
he'll be saving people out of burning buildings soon. Oh.
President Cyril Ramaphosa.
Ramaphosa,
can you maybe do
Ramatamela, please, man?
Ramata something. Well, on the note of some good news stories, let's get into it. It's time for Said by Sia. Come on. Let's feel good about
Please
ourselves.
Please, can we have a good story? The news stories, things that we need to know, are all terrible.
Something to lift you up.
Thank you.
Let me start with a question. Pumi, do you think you could put a price to your integrity?
Could I put a cost of what I've lost because of integrity?
Well, just an amount.
I can quantify amounts I've lost because of integrity.
Oh, geez, okay. Because listen to this, it's a feel good story because it actually reaffirms that there are some genuine good people out there. It gives me faith in humanity. Listen to this. An unemployed New Jersey man, congratulations to him, has won the jackpot lottery of $273 million last week. $273 million. That's what he won in the lottery last week. He's recently divorced. I'm sure the wife is now like punching herself.
No,
like, why did I divorce him?
I saw this.
Did you?
Yes.
But you know the story. Recently divorced, 54 years old. His name is Mike, and he'd been struggling to find a job. He just casually went into a convenience store last week sometime. He bought tons of tickets, but as he was leaving the store, he brought up everything. He collected everything, but forgot the tickets on the counter. The next guy who came up afterwards spotted these tickets and actually didn't realize that he himself had collected all of these. The guy went home after the lottery results were discovered and found out. He still took the tickets back to the store and said, "These aren't mine. There's someone out there who's looking for them. Can you make sure that they get to him?" And thankfully, Mike landed back getting his Jubilee winnings of $273 million. I'm all for integrity. I'm all for being a good person. I just don't know.
I loved the story.
It might be that person.
I loved the story. But what I loved even more about the story is they did find the ex-wife who said, "I don't want him back." More integrity for you. Boom.
The ex-wife doesn't want him back?
Yeah. She was just like, aha.
After the fact that he's now a multimillionaire?
She was just like, yeah.
Oh, no, miss me. No, no, no. I would forgive everything. I'd forgive your cheating ways. I'd forgive the fact that you snore. Anything a couple of million can solve. But this story does get sweeter, though, because Mike has put out a call to say, if you are the person who returned his tickets, he'd love to be able to share part of his earning.
Dude, he's got 254 million.
Yeah, I know.
He could give two.
I was doing the quick math. So Mike has actually decided to take all of the winnings at once, which decreases it to like 100 and something million. And then with that, let's see what tax does or whatever the case is. But he can still
tax for winnings.
Well, unless if he decides to. Don't you get taxed off like this recent winner if you give the money away?
You don't get taxed for giving money away. You get a tax deduction. That's why you must donate things.
Oh, maybe
you get a deduction if you donate money.
I don't want to ruin my feel good story, but that's why maybe he wants to give off his money. Hey, you know what? Good Samaritan, wherever you are, you're now officially a multimillionaire yourself. You can at least score a $5 million from that. That's just it by Sia from this morning. But let's go into some of the messages. So Ash says, yes, Ash is chiming up to remind us the first movie was Unbreakable, not Shattered. That was a different movie.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
Yes. And then Kelly also says the same thing as well. It says Unbreakable, then Split, now Glass. So there are three in the whole series. And Kelly also says, and he was in a train accident as an adult.
Yes! First he was in a plane accident. Dude, that movie was a proper head work.
Clearly we know what gets you going if we just mention a good movie. And then Kelly also says, you're thinking of Unbreakable, the one with Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson. And then Mfundo says, good morning, Sia and Pumi, with peace and love.
Hello, Mfundo.
Well, with peace and love to you too, Mfundo. Good morning. So, Pumi is now referencing to the fact that Canthan Pele has now staggered into studio and has lied down on our couch, a la someone who is in a therapist's office. So I think that is just a very physical response to the political happenings.
At the risk of sounding like God, Helen, I don't know if lied down is a word.
Oh. has laid down. Guys, it's 6:58. Sometimes my English takes some time to reboot. Well, with that said, it's time for the Birding Platform. Straight after this, so much to get into this week. What a heated week that was. So let's get straight into that just after this. This is the Gareth Cliff Show on CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.